Hello.
Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of Pork Therapy.
That's right, we're here, and this is Stephanie.
And Mike.
Oh, and a text message. and we're getting you on the pork therapy couch here.
Whoa, excellent. We're going to do you on the pork therapy couch.
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe you can. Maybe I'll skip that one.
So you can, what we do is talk about anything you want, generally, what, relationship-oriented? Communication-oriented?
Yeah, or fake, you know,
fake questions, funny questions. Oh, don't we have a slogan?
Oh, we do. I forget it.
It's where...
Pork therapy, where communication is key in all relationships.
Bing!
That was awesome. We didn't even practice that.
So you can send us your questions at porktherapy@gmail.com.
That's porktherapy@gmail.com.
You can find us on the web at porktherapy.podbean.com, and that's P-O-D-B-E-A-N. And you
How else would you spell podbean?
I don't know. It's such an odd word. I have to spell it because it just sounds podbean. Like, yeah, I don't know what the hell I would be saying. Podbean. Anyway, you can also download this podcast from iTunes, but you can't send us a question there, so forget about that.
Where the hell is my podbean? I've been looking for it all day.
Oh, God.
All right.
Hey.
Yes.
So, we have another topic for today, and it's a very shallow topic.
Yes, totally meaningless.
Yeah.
We've actually got a very deep intellectual question to answer today, and this question is from... another anonymous porcupine.
Let's call this one a male.
Okay, we'll call it a male.
And this question is actually like 107 different questions, but...
Yeah, so we'll try to get them one by one. You want to read the whole thing and then take it piece by piece?
Sure, I'll read the whole thing.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Okay. What is the shape and context of love between human beings who claim to be sovereign individuals? In other words, how do two or more sovereign individuals form potent and meaningful bonds and alliances these days? Is there such a thing as a long-term relationship? What are the risks? What are the potential rewards? What's the payoff? That's a repeat. Apart from the obvious fact that humans are primate mammals and therefore social beings. Is there such a thing as special love? Is there a rating system? Is there such a thing as mutual...
Rating system.
What?
Go on.
Oh, okay.
Just repeating the rating system.
Is there such a thing as mutual integration?
Oh, Jesus, another one.
How about... Oh, and that's the question.
People won't leave me alone.
You're too popular. Everyone wants to communicate with you.
Oh, yeah, and I want to communicate back.
Okay, so let's start that one up at the beginning. The hardest question being first. What is the shape and context of love between human beings who claim to be sovereign individuals? In other words, how do two or more sovereign individuals form potent and meaningful bonds and alliances these days? So, the first part of the question, I don't quite understand. What's the shape and context of love? Does that mean... How do you know you're in love? How do you see it? What do you think he means by that?
What's the shape and context of love between human beings?
What form does it take?
Who claim to be sovereign individuals. Well, I think the sovereignty is key. So I think maybe what he's saying is, how do you maintain your sense of self and your independence if you're in love with someone else and they're in love with you?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I had it in front of me, but there's a... quote, there's a couple quotes by Ayn Rand from, I believe, The Fountainhead about love and basically individuality. And in one of them, the quote is irrelevant. The idea is that the man loves the woman regardless of whether she loves him back or anything. He just loves her. So she doesn't have to love him back. She doesn't have to like him. She doesn't have to talk to him. He loves what she is, who she is. So that's kind of like separate from her. Right? He is an individual. He likes these values, these things. He loves her who embodies these values, period. She doesn't have to love him back. It doesn't have to be requited. They don't have to, you know...
That's such a Rand thing to say, though. It's like, how can you love someone... How can you love someone if they're ignoring you? I mean, is that really love? I don't think that is. I think that's, you know, lust or passion or...
I don't know. What. Well,
crush
how do you know? What does he love about her? Does he love... her mind? Does he love her accomplishment? Does he love the way she treats people, other than him, apparently? I don't know. You're right.
Were they lovers once, and then they broke up, and now she's ignoring him? Or did they never get to know each other, though? That's the thing.
Well, yeah, it's very contextual.
Right.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was the latter, then, you know...
Okay, well, that quote was probably a horrible example to bring up, then.
No, it wasn't. It was good. I liked it.
All right, so what is the shape and context of love between sovereign individuals? So, I still don't quite know what he's asking. Can you, you might maybe have an idea?
Yeah, well, I think like what I said before, it's how do you balance individuality with coupledom or love?
Okay, he says, what's the shape and context of love? In other words, how do two sovereign individuals form potent and meaningful bonds and alliances these days? So I'm going to assume that by shape and context of love, he means how do sovereign individuals form potent and meaningful bonds and alliances.
Okay, I think
and
that's fair.
And that kind of relates, I guess, to what you said. How do you balance your individuality with loving another person? Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead, take a stab.
How do you do that? Well, see, this is why they put us at the head of the couch, because we're,
all right, well,
we're relationship non-experts.
We're making
this
shit up, people.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, here's something that a thought that just popped into my head. I think you bond with people who you already have commonalities with and already have interests that you share.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the most successful relationships are formed by just pursuing things that you like to do anyway and meeting people that way who also have like those same things.
Okay, that makes sense. Like, you don't, if you like reading, you don't go to the bar to meet people, or you might, but you're not going
to. Or if you hate drinking or you hate sports, you don't go to the sports bar to meet.
Right,
you're
less likely to find someone you have more in common with.
Right.
Okay, so that's how you can find those people and perhaps form these bonds and alliances. That seems like too simple an answer for such a deep question, though.
Well, the answer can be whatever we say it is.
That's right. That is the answer.
Well, you know, I think honesty is a huge part of that. I mean, of forming potent and meaningful bonds, specifically what he said.
And that also relates to his next question, is there such a thing as long-term relationship? If you're not honest, if you say, oh, you like Ayn Rand? I love Ayn Rand. And you don't, it's not going to last long. Because they're going to, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fake bond.
Yeah.
I mean, the person might believe you for a little while, and then he says, oh, did you see when Daggett did that? And you're like, what?
Right.
Who's that?
Yeah, and who is stop,
John
Galt? Stop talking about, ooh, nice. Stop talking about Ayn Rand, you randroid, and then she's going to get offended, and then the relationship will end. Or whatever,
you
know.
Have you ever called anyone a randroid to their face?
I've been called a randroid.
You? No way.
What?
No. You don't even like Rand.
I do too.
Okay, well, I guess you're a randroid.
No, I'm not a randroid. Anyway, so honesty is very important, yes. So how do they form potent and meaningful bonds and alliances? Well, you hang around, you do things you enjoy, and hence you'll be around people who enjoy similar things. That's how you'd meet them, right?
I mean, you're honest. I think
honesty is huge.
Part of forming meaningful bonds is also being honest with someone else about the things that you maybe don't like about the relationship or about them.
Very important, yeah. Like, if they have...
It's not pretending everything is great and all roses. It's being honest and trying to work on the things that aren't so great and trying to embrace the things that are great, right?
Right, and the things that aren't great work around. Like, okay, you bite your toenails with your teeth, and I don't like that,
God.
So do that when you're in the bathroom, or do that when I'm out of the house or something, and then we'll both get
you
along.
You bite your toenails with your teeth?
Not me.
How is that possible? I have to try it.
That's easy.
I wish this was a video podcast. No, we don't wish this was a video podcast. You would have seen us both trying to bite our toenails with our teeth.
It's not tough. Okay. Is there such a thing as a long-term relationship? I'd say absolutely. I mean,
yes.
I disagree with the idea of marriage for a number of reasons, but one of them is... People are promised.
Legal marriage, right? State marriage.
I mean, yeah, I mean the institution of marriage as it exists.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless of all of my reasons, one of them is people typically promise to each other to love each other until they will die. And I don't see how that kind of promise is possible, because people change.
It's not sincere.
It's
you
well,
can't predict what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you could take it from a shallow perspective and say, well, next year, the person you promised to love forever might get hit by a train and might have all their limbs amputated, and you'll have to, and they'll be a vegetable.
Right.
Are you
going
to love them forever?
I mean,
maybe you will. That's great. But how can you know that?
Mm.
And then you could take it to a much more deep level and say, you guys both progress and in your own individuality and learn who you are better and better, and you come closer. And then all of a sudden you just kind of start veering away in interests. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, 10, 20 years later, you have different interests and different desires and different styles, and you grow apart, and you maybe like someone else. And are you going to deny yourself other happiness and other love simply because you made a promise that you cannot keep?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I think there are long-term relationships. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think there's, like, a minimum length or a maximum length. I don't think it's everyone can do them or wants to do them, but I think they exist.
Sure. That's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
People who don't want to do them or can't do them.
Ooh, absolutely. Yeah. So if that interests you, write in.
Don't half of all I heard the statistic somewhere that more than half of all marriages fail, and by that they meant that to death do us part was not a reality. Like the people were not married until they were dead or one of them.
Yeah, that's
dead.
I've heard that. Yeah, and it's believable to me.
Absolutely, yeah.
So many reasons that people get divorced.
Yeah, which is another reason why the state should not be involved with marriage.
Yeah,
with granting someone permission for who they can love and.
Okay, so the next thing this questioner asks is, he says, is there such a... What?
That was a rant alert.
Thanks, Steph. Okay, next.
He's rushing me along. What are the risks and the potential rewards? What's the payoff? Okay, so...
Of a long-term relationship.
Of a long-term relationship.
Yeah. Well, I think that's individual.
It is individual, but to a certain extent, I think there are common risks and rewards.
Well,
the risks is, I guess the biggest obvious risk is that it won't work out, which is a very real risk.
Right. You know what? He didn't mention monogamous or polyamorous relationships here, because if you have a monogamous long-term relationship, if you promise to be with one person for a long time, that has a bigger risk than if you have an open relationship. I promise to love you for as long as you're who you are. However, I might also love a new person if they come into my life and I love them too. It's just less risky.
I don't know if I would say that that's less risky.
Oh, okay.
Because I think the whole point of polyamory or open relationships is just to let every relationship become what it's going to be. You know, I like that description that I heard.
Okay, well, yeah, that...
And in such... Sense. In doing so, in letting every relationship reach its full potential and become whatever it's going to be, every relationship has that same risk of not working out. Don't you think?
Yeah, okay, I can see that. But then maybe I just said the words wrong. But if you are in an open relationship and you might love this person and let this relationship be what it'll be, while simultaneously doing that with one or two or three other people, and one of them fails, you still have intimate relationships.
Yes.
If you're in a monogamous relationship and it fails, you have nothing.
True.
So it's not necessarily
unless you're cheating.
Unless you're cheating. See
which
episode
we talked
one.
About in episode one.
So it's not necessarily more risky in one more the other. It's just there might be a. Oh, and he does mention payoff. So it might be a better payoff if you're in a polyamorous type relationship. Or
well, it depends on who you are and what you want.
Yeah, it depends on all of these.
What your goals are. Yeah, I mean, some people...
So do the risks and rewards. That depends on who you are and what you're looking for.
Right.
Is a long-term relationship
worth
it? If
you're looking for a monogamous relationship and you're really gung-ho about that and you want one person to be everything to and they're everything to you for your whole life, then that's what you want. And you're willing to take the risk that one relationship doesn't work out.
Right.
But if you're looking to let every relationship become whatever it's going to be,
and
you're willing to take that risk that it might affect your other relationships in some way,
if
you allow every relationship to become whatever it's going to be, then that's your choice too.
Yep.
Right? Did that make any sense?
I think it did.
Okay.
It
made sense to you, but it didn't make sense to them.
Well, they didn't answer. It might have made sense.
Yeah. Okay. Is there such a thing as special love, and is there a rating system? Now, that's a really interesting question.
A special love. See, now, we talked
about... Every love is special.
Yeah,
that's
in its own way.
That's the first thing that comes to my
mind, yeah. Yeah, and, I always like the phrase, if everyone's special, no one's special. Meaning, if you take a little third grade class, oh, Bobby's special. He's because he can pull up his pants quick. And Jane's special because she can add 4 + 4 on the bulletin board or on the chalkboard faster than everyone. Everybody has a special thing. Everybody's special. Then nobody's really special because everyone's just been elevated to the same. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I think pulling your pants up quickly is a good skill to have in some instances.
Could be. However...
I love your guarantees.
My what?
I love your examples. They're just... They're so ridiculous sometimes. Totally hilarious.
Is there such a thing as special love?
If everyone's special, I see what you're saying.
Yes.
If everyone's special, is anyone really special?
Right. And I think no. However, you said
every love
is special.
And I think yes.
I
think they're special in a different way.
Yes, exactly. They're each individual, and it depends on what your goals are.
Right.
Like, if you take one person, they probably have 10, 20, 100 different loves. They have one or more intimate sexual romantic relationships, mm-hmm. loves.
Yep.
Then they have their mother and their family.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have their pets. And then they have their car, which they might love. And then they have
their
job.
Their passions in life, yeah.
Yes, they love painting. So there's all kinds of different loves.
Absolutely.
And
they're all different flavors of love.
Yeah,
right? Different,
yes. And some of them are, I would, and this goes to the second question too, is there a rating system? I would say some of those are more important than others. I'd say
yes. This
person loves some of those receivers of love more than others.
Yes, and I think one's actions really speak to those priorities too.
Yeah.
For instance, if you're spending all your time at work for your whole life, or for 40 years of your life, and you're, you know, married to someone in a monogamous, committed relationship, and you never see them because you're always at work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, clearly you love work more than you love
right.
time with
you. Right. You might, despite what you're saying, you're acting for 40 years that you to say that you love work more.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, maybe that's your priority. Maybe that's just how you are.
Yeah, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but own it.
Except if you misled your partner into believing that they would...
That would be a form of cheating.
I suppose it would.
Very so, nice. So to put this in a metaphor, in the Spider-Man movie, the first one, the Riddler guy, the green guy, the goblin, whatever, the bad guy, has Spider-Man's girlfriend hanging from a rope on one side of the bridge, and he has some innocent people hanging from a rope on the other side of the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells Spider-Man, you can only save one, so you've got to choose which you essentially love more. Your romantic love or your helping other people.
Mm.
And he drops them both, and Spider-Man has to decide. And go watch the movie to see what he does, but...
Oh, that was such a tease. How could you do that?
I own stock in Spider-Man.
I don't think I ever saw that.
Oh, I love that movie.
Well, you have to tell me what happens after the podcast.
Okay, when they're not listening. So obviously, everything you love, you can measure. It's just could be very expensive to measure it. Like, if you had to measure whether you loved person A or person B more by dangling them each from a bridge and seeing which one you save, that's really expensive. But there are other ways. You could just look at...
But why would you want to measure that? Why would you want to quantify it?
No, I'm not saying you should, but I think... I'm not saying you should explicitly write down and measure and quantify it, but I think you do that implicitly.
I do too, yeah. Absolutely.
I think you just
know... I think
know,
you do it by your actions.
Yes.
That's what I was saying.
That's right. Yeah. Whoever you spend more time with, that's the person you're wanting to be with more.
Yeah.
And it may vary. Next month, you might want to spend more time with the other person for whatever reason.
Yes. Absolutely. Those things float around.
Okay, and then another... I guess the last part of this question is there such a state as mutual integration?
I think I know what he means by that.
What?
I think he means, is there such a thing as basically two people becoming one?
Okay. Two people becoming one.
Or something along those lines, maybe. I don't know. We don't have him on the line to clarify, but we'll have to guess here. We'll take a stab at it. I'm guessing that he means that he's asking, is there such a thing as sort of giving over your individuality to an entity that is your love with another person.
Okay. I would, off the top of my head, I'd say yes, that's possible. I'd also say that's not something I'd want to do.
No,
what do you think?
I don't think that's something I'd want to do either. But on the other hand, I've seen a lot of couples where both people start out as individuals and then after a while, their identity is more defined as being part of that couple.
Yeah. You know, I've seen that too.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you even, you know, go a little less serious in a relationship, I've known people who others call pussy whipped.
Yeah.
And that's like
exactly.
the guy...
It means you're changing who you...
Usually
it's a guy,
yeah.
right? It's the guy is changing who he once was to ostensibly please his female companion.
Yeah, not just
right?
sexually, just to always, you know, do
always
what she
do
says.
Whatever she says.
Be with her at all times. And
yes, just, ma'am.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and so I think that is a form
happy
of mutual
wife,
integration.
Happy wife, happy life kind of thing, right?
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that what they say?
That's what you just said. I've not heard it, but it works.
That is what they say,
yeah.
too.
So I would say at least that form of mutual integration exists.
But is that mutual, though? Because if a guy is whipped... for a woman.
I'd say it is, because it's not like he's being forced to be there. He wants to be
but
in that
the woman,
position.
But, you know, in those cases, usually the woman isn't changing who she is. She's not changing fundamental aspects
oh,
of her
I
personality.
See.
But he is, because he's...
Okay, so he's kind of melding into her.
Exactly.
But she's not
necessarily...
She's
like enveloping him like a like a Black Widow spider. Just
so then a mutual integration would be kind of like both people kind of stop being who they were as individuals and kind of... They both become one person.
Yeah.
Like, like Brad and Angelina become Brangelina. No one sees them apart, so they always call them the same thing.
You had to use that example.
I couldn't think of any other two names that go together. What other couple? What is another example?
You're putting me on the spot here. Let's just use Brangelina.
So that's what mutual integration is? See, that's not even a good example, because I...
No, because aren't they getting divorced? I don't know. I don't...
I don't know.
I don't pick up on this stuff, because
I
don't follow.
I have no idea if they're
getting
divorced.
Celebrity gossip.
If they're doing anything that's newsworthy, I would assume it was to be adopt another African baby, but who knows.
This is not worth talking about.
Okay. So, is there such a state as mutual integration? And assuming that means where each individual kind of becomes less of an individual and more of the other person?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that could happen. Doesn't sound appealing to me.
No, it doesn't sound appealing, because I like the idea of self-ownership, and I like the idea of
being
an individual, and I think that anyone is more appealing to potential partners when they have a strong sense of who they are.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
to begin with.
If someone was just trying to be me or be like me or to please me, that would be... I mean, I can please myself.
Yeah.
I enjoy myself. I don't need someone else to do that. I enjoy someone for who they are, not because they're me.
Right. We don't need another Barsky running around.
Ooh, wait. No. Hell no.
Yeah, so, I mean, I absolutely find that that's true. I feel attracted to people who... have a strong sense of individuality and do what they want and have, you know, clearly defined wants and goals in life, and they're their own. And they're not just trying to do something to impress me or be like me or do something because they think I want them to do it. I like people to act as individuals.
Definitely I do too.
Mm. So are we done with this very light topic?
Holy moly.
How long
moly.
Is this podcast?
So far, it's 23 minutes.
Oh,
however,
my God, that might be a pork therapy record.
Well, if you're all listening right now and saying, what, 23 minutes? This only lasted 15. I'm going to edit it down. We did a lot of stuttering in this one, so if you hear some odd cuts, I'm cutting it out.
We usually do a lot of stuttering.
All right, well, maybe I'll leave it in.
I think it's endearing.
Okay. Well, some of them were pretty... We sounded pretty retarded instead of endearing in some of those.
Hey, that's not politically correct.
Oh, we sounded...
Come on now.
That would be a whole nother episode. Because actually, I think retarded is politically correct. Seriously. Mentally retarded. What is not clinical about that? And then suddenly society took it over and said it's bad.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But anyway, that's a whole other topic.
Yeah. I don't want to think about that right now.
Yeah.
My brain is a little burned out from this person's question, but it was an awesome question.
Yes, thank you very much.
Very good question. If we didn't address it correctly, or if we didn't,
understand
we don't really care if we didn't address it correctly.
Well, I do. If I misunderstood some of your questions or something.
Yeah, if we misunderstood what you were saying, please.
Rephrase them and send them back into porktherapy@gmail.com.
Yes. And are we done?
I think we're done.
Should we announce our Facebook page?
Let's hit it.
Oh, that's hot.
Yeah,
What is our Facebook page? Okay, let's not announce our
Facebook. No, we'll announce
it. We're going to save that. That's a little teaser for the next time. Stay tuned to Pork Therapy
yes.
So you can hear about our Facebook
page
next time.
Catch the next episode and the Facebook page. We do have a website at the moment, though, and it is porktherapy.podbean.com.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks for listening, and send us your questions.
My pod bean aching lately. I don't know what it is.
Twice in one episode. Sprained your pod.
I don't know. All right. We'll see you next time.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.